is, we'll move House File 2482, be recommended and passed and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means.
It's the 2482.
House File 2482, members, is Representative Gunther's bill dealing with lottery gaming machines and other non-lottery games, authorizing a gaming facility in conjunction with a tribal entity. Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, in deference to the minority and having a delete all amendment, I think it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman, if we allow them to draft their amendments according to the delete all amendments, and I will ask the chairman to have the House File 2482 be heard tomorrow.
Members, you have in front of you, I believe, or in your packet, the 837 amendment. It's a delete all amendment to House File 2482. Is there any discussion? If there is no discussion, what the chair will do is withdraw his motion, and we will hear House File 2482 after session tomorrow, Tuesday, the 17th of May. So,
thank you.
If not, the chair withdraws his motion for House File 2482. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I wish I would have taken that bet on the floor.
Representative Coles, next time you'll listen to me.
Well, I'll make it, Mr. Chair. I'll re-offer the bet, but this time it'll be, you know, sometime when the vote comes on the bill that Representative Coles will be voting for.
Just don't be asking me for the $100.
Well, Representative Rukavina, you should always be careful what you say on tape. Anyway,
I can attest to that.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker?
I'm just the chair of the committee, Representative.
Well, I thought you were already the boss, but I just had a question on a wager here. I don't see in Masons anywhere where a wager is allowed, but since custom and usage is the highest ranking level of our use, I think that we should be taxing any profits on these wagers at the same rate as House File 765, was it, that we had on the House floor today. And can you make a motion to adopt an amendment to a wager?
I think we can. We'll work on that in conference committee. I don't know that we can just unilaterally adopt that procedure, but it's a good idea.
Or, Mr. Chairman, maybe the state should have a rake, like maybe a 10% rake on that. It's just a suggestion.
Or equivalent to what we put in the bill for Canterbury was 15, so I think that's a...
I'm okay with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, before we take up House File 2228, number one, I guess we need an author, but the second thing is you have several... pages of minutes. Representative Davids, would you like to move the minutes from the
April 12th, April 20th, April 27th, April 28th, May 2nd, May 3rd, May 4th, May 5th, May 6th, May 13th,
Mr.
Chairman.
We sure have been busy. Representative Davids moves the minutes. Representative Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And first, I want to say thank you to Representative Gunther for affording the minority that opportunity. But I'm wondering if Representative Davids would be open to passing all, I guess, seven sets of them today, but holding on May 4, 5, and 6, I think those are the days that were long and complicated, and I'd just like the time to review them.
Representative Davids will...
Mr. Chair, I'll removed from my motion May 4th, May 5th, and May 6th.
Thank you.
Okay. So, just so everyone is clear, we have the minutes before us to be approved for April 12th, April 20th, April 27th, April 28th, May 2nd, May 3rd, and May 13th. Any further discussion to the approval of the minutes? Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those who are opposed. The minutes, there are people who do review them and look at them, Representative Davids. We want to make sure that we are doing them correctly. Okay, now that we've taken care of that order of business, Representative Abrams, House File 2228.
Chairman, I move that House File 2228 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register.
Representative Abrams moves that House File 2228 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman and members, House File 2228 may look like a lot and touch on a whole lot of areas, but all it is a recodification of Chapter 270 to centralize and simplify the laws that govern the administration of taxes and fees assessed and collected by the Department of Revenue. The changes proposed in the recodification are generally technical and not substantive. It is like a number of other things that have been recodified over the last few years. The legislature tinkers with this literally on an annual basis so that it becomes administratively complicated to deal with and confusing. And occasionally, just like in the liquor area and a couple ends, and the sales tax area with sales tax recodification, it will improve the usability and administration of tax laws if it be recodified. I have with us people from the Department of Revenue who can speak to the issues of the recodification.
Mr. Chairman, Jack Manson with the Department of Revenue. I would just note that there is no revenue impact to this bill. It is technical in nature. And the language has been out there. We did start working with the tax section of the Minnesota State Bar back in August already of last year. So I think I would just ask then Cecilia Morrow, who is our lead attorney on this project. She's been involved with it from the get-go, to just kind of talk about some of the highlights in the bill.
Thank you.
Cecilia Morrow, I'm an attorney with the Minnesota Department of Revenue. In the members' packets, there is a three-page document listed as highlighted. The bill has quite a number of sections in Article 1. The majority of them make virtually no change to existing law. They just move it around. Chapter 270, as indicated, has been amended quite a number of times over the years since originally enacted in 1907. So the purpose, the primary one, was to put things in an order where they were more accessible. If you look at the highlighted changes, there are essentially three categories of changes that are noted in that. First, in Section 7 and 8 of Article 1, there are minor language changes made to clarify the scope of those provisions. 19 of the highlighted sections do two things. First, they make a uniform statement of an existing administrative or collection provision that already applies to most taxes and fees that are assessed and collected by the department. So at first it makes a uniform statement of those, and secondly, it makes those provisions apply across the board to all taxes and fees that are assessed and collected by the department. The vast majority of these provisions already apply across the board because over the course of time, the legislature has looked to common aspects of administration and applied those to various tax types as they've been enacted or recodified. So this is a very small incremental change at this point to go in, make all those provisions that are already in law apply across the board. Lastly, the only brand new provision is in Section 44 of Article 1. This is a new provision and a gap filler. in existing law. What it does is provide that where there's no method of notification provided by law, mailing to the taxpayer's last known address is sufficient. So as I indicated, the primary work of it is all that's what is in front of the members is existing law that has been reorganized and placed into logical categories.
Discussion.
Mr. Chairman, just one further note.
Representative Abrams.
That is, the language has been out there for quite a while. Nobody has contacted me regarding any problems with any of the language. It would be my intention, if it got on the general register, not to bring it up until maybe Friday. Calendar for the day, so that if somebody has not seen the language and has a problem with it, they would be given another 2 or 3 days in order to contact me. There certainly is no intent to do anything substantive in this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm. Representative Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, does it raise a tax on anybody?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson. Not that I know of, no, but we can have the department answer that directly.
No, not at all. These are all just provisions that will apply to the taxes that are imposed by other chapters. The Chapter 270 has been on the books since 1907. There are in Chapter 270 a number of taxes imposed. Those are staying untouched in Chapter 270. That was what we did is, to the extent that there was a mix of these general provisions mixed in with some specific tax types, those are all left in place. So this bill does not impose any taxes. Okay.
Further discussion to House File 2228. Mr. Moore, when is the last time that there was a recodification of Chapter 270?
Mr. Chairman, there's never been a recodification of Chapter 270, but in 1990, there was a recodification of the provisions that apply to the major tax types. That's when the legislature enacted Chapter 289A, which applies to the vast revenue sources of the income tax, sales tax, the major tax types as they're referred to. This bill actually is a follow-on to that in that those provisions that have been so successfully implemented across those tax types since 1990, a number of those are picked up. What has occurred over the years is Chapter 270 was in place providing many of the administrative vehicles for assessment and collection and auditing. And then in 289A in 1990, when those were brought into play to improve the functioning of those tax types, those have been in operation since then. In the interim since then, there's been a number of recodifications of various tax types, as mentioned by Representative Abrams, for liquor, sales tax, insurance. In each of those cases, the legislature has seen fit to take the best of the provisions from Chapter 289A for administering the taxes for assessment, collection, auditing, et cetera, and to, by reference or verbatim recitation, to pick those up. What this new bill, what this chapter does in 270C, is to take those provisions that have always been out there in 270 that apply to most everything, to take the good experience and the good application of the 289A provision, bring them all together in one chapter, organize them logically, and make them available and applicable across all tax types. And, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I want to make a clarification to my response that there aren't any taxes imposed by this bill that are new. There are provisions in Chapter 270 that are existing, that are being repealed and being reenacted that do provide for certain fees. One example, having talked to the CPA Society, there's a provision for a $5 fee when a filer at a certain level doesn't do it electronically. So there are some particular sort of administrative fees that are in existing law that are being moved. So there's nothing new. They're just being repealed and reenacted in a more orderly fashion.
Representative Mulvey.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to ask that if there were any new fees, because they had come up with some earlier in the session that we had some objections to, but they said that there aren't any new ones.
The can you please explain again the changes in Section 7?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In Section 7 defines the department's rulemaking authority. That provision over the years has had some language changes to identify the things regarding which the commissioner may issue rules. This change clarifies that the commissioner has authority to issue rules regarding property tax matters. The legislature specifically allowed for that authority quite a number of years ago. And in this enactment, all it does is the definition of state revenue laws, which is the phrase about which the commissioner is given authority to issue rules, is specifically defined to include property tax. So whereas there's been an undefined reference to state tax laws and laws administered by the commissioner, what that pertains to now is defined as including the authority to issue, to do rulemaking regarding the property tax system.
The question I guess I would have here is, does this constitute a change in rulemaking authority?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Abrams, you don't believe it constitutes a change in rulemaking authority for the commissioner?
No, I don't, Mr. Chairman. I believe that it is basically recodifying from elsewhere and other authority in a central place the rulemaking authority.
Any further discussion to House File 2228? Is there anyone in the audience who cares to testify either in favor or in opposition to House File 2228? Seeing none, we will Representative Abrams renews his motion that House File 2228 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who are opposed, motion prevails. The bill is passed, sent to the General Register. Thank you, Representative Abrams. Thank you, Mr. Manson. And members, there's no further business to come before the committee. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering with the addition, it's more of a mechanical question as far as getting the group together tomorrow. We've got the delete all that apparently is going to be the new gambling bill. Will we have a fiscal note in hand prior to talking about this tomorrow? I just got the fiscal note, I might add, on the last Gunther bill about an hour and a half ago, and that was neat. But I'm curious if we're going to have one on this bill prior to discussing it tomorrow. I think it's kind of important for the tax committee to have that, Mr. Chair.
Members, we have the fiscal notes on the delete all amendment, 837 delete all amendment to House File 2482, if members want to review the fiscal note. So that's available to members.
Is that, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, is that in our packets, or is that...
No, it's not. It's...
up there.
It's right here, if you want. Only a dollar a copy.
Very good.
we're hurting for revenue. We need more revenue. So unless there's any further business, seeing none, meeting's adjourned.